Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, at your bidding, we have come into your house to pray and to hear your saving word, that we may obtain instruction, consolation, and refreshment for our souls. Therefore, we humbly implore you to open our mouth, ears, heart, and mind by your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly learn your holy word, and with hearty desire, eagerness, and devotion, attend to it, and from it learn to know you, that in the midst of all trials and needs, we may have your comfort, mercy, and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. So Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Today we celebrate the Reformation. In 1517, on the eve of All Saints' Day, Martin Luther nailed the Disputation on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences to the church door in Wittenberg. It was a list of questions and propositions that were meant for Christian debate. 95 theses in all. When Luther nailed those 95 theses to the door, he would have never known what was about to unfold in his life. And he would never have known what was about to unfold in the church. But this is the event. This is the one that historians point to and say, that was it. That was the beginning of the Reformation. And that was 500 years ago, right? So who cares? Right? 500 years ago, what does it have to do with us? Well, we should care. Because the spirit of the Reformation needs to live on. Martin Luther didn't just change the church. He changed the world. The world has never been the same because of what he did. And all he really did was he fought a battle for the truth. And there's nothing more true, there's nothing more certain for us in the world than God's very words. And so I will contend that, you know, Martin Luther, while, you know, a very important historical figure, he's just one of many. One of many people throughout history that the Holy Spirit has used to make sure the church remains in the truth. And of course, you know, Luther's going to make big waves, but it's not his Reformation. It's the Spirit's Reformation. It's the Holy Ghost's Reformation. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth. This is what is at stake. This is what is being attacked. And if you remember from back in the garden, and I'm sure I've told you this quite recently, in fact, Satan only has one trick. And that's to bring doubt upon the truth. With Adam and Eve, what did he tempt them with? Did God really say? And of course, the answer is yes, God really did say things. And we really should believe what God has said. And so this is honestly all that Luther did. He saw this practice of selling indulgences, which essentially, you know, the Catholic Church was all caught up in this doctrine of purgatory. Okay? So Christians will go to heaven eventually, right? Because if we have any mortal sins, of course, those will send us to hell. But if we have small sins, you know, maybe sins that we've forgotten to ask God for forgiveness for, or sins that we committed that we don't really remember, or things that, you know, like the little white lies we tell and things. And so for those sins, they still cling to us because we haven't said enough Hail Marys to get rid of them. And so what's going to happen when we die is we're going to go to a holding tank, a place of fire and burning called purgatory. And there all of those small sins will purge themselves off of the Christians. That way they are able to enter into the heavenly reality without sin. What's the problem, though? It doesn't exist. It's not in the scriptures. And so for the Catholic Church to then say, or the Roman Catholic Church to then say, you know, you have to give some money to the church in order to lessen your time in this burning place, guess what? That's not in the scriptures either. And so as the church was perpetuating these falsehoods, Luther pumped the brakes and went, hey guys, this doesn't sound right. He simply wanted to get to the truth. And, you know, we could blame the laity. We could point fingers and go, like, didn't people know any better? But truth be told, they didn't know any better. Like, everything was in Latin. People would come to the church service, and the priest would stand up there, and he'd drone on in Latin for a while, and then everybody would go home. The end. So the people didn't understand what was actually in the Bible. They were literally, biblically illiterate, because even Bibles themselves were not written in the vernacular. They weren't written in common language. They were all Latin, and they were all too expensive for anybody to have. And so the church ruled the people with an iron fist, and they ruled with fear and condemnation, and they essentially turned the people into a cash cow. Not a great thing. Right? So this is why it's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit sends Luther and those like him, right? He didn't lead the Reformation all on his own, to get back to the truth. You don't have to be afraid of being condemned. You guys hear this all the time. You don't have to be afraid of going to hell. Why? Because you have a Savior. You have Jesus. His blood has covered your sin. His death is in place of your own death. And so you will not die eternally, but you will live forever. You know this is true because the gospel has been unchained. It has been released into the world yet again. The truth is able to flow freely. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Jesus alone. And Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth. You see, without the truth, we are not free. Without the truth, we are enslaved. We're stuck serving ourselves and being selfish. We're stuck breaking God's law with no opportunity to do anything else. But we do know the truth. And we are free. We don't need indulgences or purgatory, and we don't even need ourselves. We need Jesus. But again, you know, this is a great history lesson. Thanks, Pastor. But the spirit of the Reformation must live on. You think we're done fighting? You think what Luther did 500 years ago was the end of it all? Don't get too comfortable, my friends. There is still a fight that needs to be fought. And it's the same fight that Luther fought. It's the same fight that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Did God really say? And yes, God really has said all sorts of things. But you know what? Because of our sin and because of who we are and because we always doubt the truth, you look at the state of Christendom now. We have hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of different Christian denominations. And they're not all created equal. Some have their feet firmly planted on God's word, that truth that sets them free. And some have left that word behind for the lies. What is true? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And of course, it applies to the splintered church. But it really applies in every avenue of our lives. My friends, we are at war. War with the forces in this world. We're at war with Satan and his demons. We're at war with our own flesh. What is true? And what isn't true? The lines are being blurred. They're blurred all over the place. How do we know? We return to God's word. See, the world is so confused about so many different things. We can't even define what a man and a woman are anymore. But yet God's word is clear. We can't even describe what a marriage is supposed to be anymore, but God's word is clear. We don't even know if we're still supposed to identify as human beings anymore half the time. And yet God's word is clear. And you guys know this because the truth has set you free. You can speak with boldness about what is true and what isn't true because you have read God's word. And that's a wonderful thing. Thanks be to God. But for so many people outside these walls, they have no clue. They're so confused, and they are literally enslaved to the whims of the world. But you have the key. You have the key to their freedom. You know the gospel, you know the truth, and you can set them free. You just have to get out there and tell them. Because the spirit of the Reformation needs to live on. You know, Luther was great, but I see a lot of great people in this room. A lot of great people who I know have people out there. I'm sure everybody in this room knows somebody who doesn't believe the truth. And so who's going to take it to them? You think God's going to magically zap the Reformation into their minds? That's not the way it works. God has to send his messengers, and they have to be bold enough to nail 95 theses to a church door. They have to be bold enough to open their mouth, even if it might cause controversy and pain and hardship. But you know what? The truth is worth it. Because Jesus is the truth. Because eternal life is a really, really long time. And so my encouragement for you today is to remain, to abide in the truth. Read the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. They're all Jesus, right? They're all true. And then after you have rightly received the word yourself, use it in your lives. Live your life according to it and speak it into the lives of those around you. Because truly then, the spirit of the Reformation will live on and God's kingdom will be proclaimed in Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.